What's up and welcome back to the Clout Only Pipeline. This is part three of the making of the Class of 09 anime. Part three of a three-part series. Isn't that great? So last time we left off, it was going through sort of this limbo of the layout limbo, we'll call it, where I have maybe 50, 60% of the layout done. The artists that I can rely on are either getting, you know, hired by other things or they're burnt out with something else. And so, like I said in the last part, at the end of the last part, I'm going back to the cold DMs. And so you're really just kind of struggling. And at this point, I mean, it's weird to think about. It's weird to go back and think about, like, to only what was maybe 6, 7 months ago, where you're at this point where, I don't know, you feel like one of those guys. Here's what I mean. During this project, I could have easily become one of those guys who says, oh, yeah, I'm making an anime, and then it just never comes out. It's just, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure anybody who's been in a creative space, they always saw one fucking dude who didn't know what he's talking about, didn't know anybody, didn't, you know, had no connections, had no motivation, no drive, and would just say, oh, yeah, we're going to reanimate this. And I actually made a joke about that in the first Class of 09 when Jeffrey says that he's going to get his friend's cousins after he graduates from media school to help animate their remake of an animated show that they like. And yeah, I just remember over the years, you know, growing up online where there'd be some guy who's like, I want to make a fifth season of Yu-Gi-Oh. No, it wasn't even Yu-Gi-Oh. It was Yu-Gi-Oh GX. How many people remember that shit? You know, but you just find these people who make it. And guess what? Every single time, everybody who had these, they wouldn't even finish writing the shit. They wouldn't finish writing the shit, and they would go on behind the voice actors or wherever the fuck, and they go try to get voice actors for their little fan project that's not even fucking done, that they had no production plan for, no animation plan for. They thought they could get someone else to do it, I guess. And so I just remember that even as early as like 13. I always had the paranoia of, oh, God, I can't start something and not finish it because I'm just going to turn into myself when I was 11 years old, when I would always start little comics or little whatever and not finish it. So it was strange where at that point I wasn't really like on the internet that much, 12, 13. I wasn't really like going on it like that. But because I drew so much stuff and I created so much, ironically enough, I would draw a lot of comics, sometimes Western, sometimes anime. I would do that a lot as a kid. And then as it turned out, I didn't draw at all. Well, no, that's not entirely true. We'll get to that in a second. But yeah, I basically didn't do any drawing for the anime that I would one day release. You know, I don't know. If you told me at 13 that I would put out an anime, you know, what, like, you know, 15 years later or whatever. I mean, I guess you think that's cool. And it's like, oh, by the way, you don't really design any of the characters and you don't really, you just kind of like, I don't know, force some Chinese kid to do it or whatever. But, you know, that's the other interesting thing is in regards to just all the different people across the world that you'll meet during this project, we had animators from France. We had animators from, New York City was first, right? First person I met was, I think, in Boston. Then the next crucial person I met was in New York City. Then another person in Vancouver. And then it started going out. Then it was France. Then it was the UK. Then it was Sweden. Then it was like you'd find a couple people in the Philippines. Then it was Brazil. And then we eventually got all the way down to, not all the way down. This is north of Brazil. But then we entered Mexico in our world of network. And so basically, this all goes back to the cold DMs that I was alluding to at the end of the last episode, is that during this next wave of cold DMs in about April, there was one of the, you know, few people who got back to me was someone by the name, or they went by Micken. And so I found this guy. And I would give the character sheet test, and it was very interesting where There's this interesting thing with business with being open-minded, how it will really, you know, sort of open you to new people and new opportunities. And so basically, so this Micken guy, I go up to him with the character test. Like I say, hey, here's a character sheet. Draw the exact same character on model at a different angle. We'll see how close you are to see how many corrections we need to do. And so the reason why that, you know, in Western animation, that's a little more, I guess, commonplace. It's not as outlandish to ask for that. And most of the people that replied to me, they were, you know, willing to do that. But I remember one time, I think it was someone who was like actually in Japan. They replied to me. They gave me a fucking text wall about how it was so rude and awful, and how I should fucking like, how I should, you know, like, oh, I was the most insulting person in the world to artists for asking for a character test because that's not how layout's supposed to be, and this and that. And it's like, I straight up just blocked that person. It's like, dude, I don't want this. I don't know. I don't want these people looking at anything I do. I don't want this person to like go back and check up on me one day. I really don't need that because it was a fucking wall of text telling me how wrong I was for getting a character or asking for an on model test, you know, in a DM opening up asking for layout. And that's the thing. At no point did they say, oh, of course, every artist can draw on that style. They didn't say that. They just said it's not our job to be on model. And it's like, okay, but your job isn't my job. Like, my job is we have fucking nobody to do this shit, so I got to do what I got to do. And this is the problem. Don't judge other people's money or productions unless you're operating in them. And you deal that a lot. With voice actors, you deal that a couple times where the audio, the acoustics of the audio wouldn't be good enough. It'd be too boxy or, you know, something like that. And I'd be like, hey, we need a fix, or, oh, we can't do it. And they'd always hit you with the most passive-aggressive shit. They'd be like, oh, well this popular thing took it. Oh, well, this anime studio took it. I'm like, hey, cool. Guess what that anime studio isn't making? My fucking project, so shut the hell up. And so you got to deal with that a lot. Just people, when you're independent, but you're very ambitious and you want to make something that's, like, on the level of the shit that you grew up on, I say that the shit you grew up on, because that's all pre-internet shit back when the production budgets were like cut in half because streaming doesn't make any goddamn money. But you would deal with, I dealt with that with actors where they'd be like, oh, who the fuck are you to expect quality? Fuck you. Like I got that all the time. And so with the artist who was yelling, this is not Micken, by the way. This was another person that I'm tangenting into to make this longer because I'm assuming that's what you want. And so as a backstory for me asking that, and this will all make sense of why I'm getting into this. It's not just because I'm mad about it. So that person hated me for doing that. I kind of just like ran away. I was like, okay, let me keep it moving here. And then so I go to the Micken person and I ask for a character sheet. Now, why this is relevant is that, well, number one, the guy didn't get mad about it. He was like, oh, he did it. And it was like fucking insanely on model. It was like really fucking good. I'm like, what the hell is this? So I'm asking him to do layout. And then the Micken guy's like, if you're looking for a Doga, pixel block inking, if you're looking for Doga and color and all that shit, you go to a Koeda Animation. I'm like, okay, I'll send him a DM. I wasn't acting high and mighty. The only thing that discouraged me from sending DMs at this point, it's not like I started high and mighty. I knew that I had to, you know, be at the lowest rung or have the lowest, you know, whatever, and I had to pay more. I knew that going in. But, what defeats you sometimes from reaching out again is like, oh God, is this going to be another person who doesn't fucking reply? And then I wasted my time. Like, that's the thing that discouraged you. But I did it anyway. And I go to Koeda. Koeda, you know, they oversee their own animations. They're not as, you know, wildly established as, you know, Studio Puro or fucking, you know, MAPPA or, you know, like these kinds of studios. But, you know, they have a framework, they have a structure, they're working on it. They're working on actual shows like, you know, Boruto and some other shit. I'm sorry, Boruto is the only one I recognize because I know about Naruto. I'm sure they've worked on bigger shows. It's just I don't follow contemporary anime. So like that, it's very tricky for me to remember these things. But to recap so far, so I go to this guy named Micken. He has this awesome on-model character test. I'm like, hey, man, I want to give you all the layout, but of course, No one's available for all your layout. That's how it works. No one will ever be available for all your layout. So he agrees to like do like four cuts of layout, something like that. And then he's, yeah, but in the process says, hey, Studio Koueta, go to them. So I message, I get Koueta, I get this meeting. So I'm talking to these other guys. And basically, at one point, so we go through a few meetings and it seems like they're interested in doing it, all this stuff. And what's funny is that before I went to Koueta, I was talking to Micken about it. And he said, when I said that, oh yeah, I'm working on this short thing, it's going to be American filmmaking with Japanese pipeline. He said, oh, it sounds like a missed opportunity. He's like, yeah, you should hit up Koueta. Then what I came to find out after another meeting is then this guy named Miguel gets in. And then after a couple of meetings, I'm like, oh wait, Micken owns Studio Koueta. He's the head of it. He runs all this shit. And so that was very odd, but it was kind of like a fun little discovery. I don't know. Maybe he was very, very humble, or he didn't want to like feel like he was like trying to sell something. Hey, at that moment, you could have sold me fucking anything. I needed to get this shit done. you could have all the bravado you want. Like, as long as you're offering me a solution, I'm good. You know? So basically, you know, so, and so the reason why I, you know, say this stuff earlier is that, you know, this guy is the head of his own anime studio. He knows the entire pipeline. He learned all this stuff and he's telling me about like just everything. And then what I realize is that, you know, this is a guy who knows everything, who's, you know, consummate professional, all this stuff. And he wasn't greatly offended by me asking for a character test, because I guess he had the confidence knowing that he could impress with it and he could, you know. And so that was, it's a very interesting thing. And it's sort of a lesson in business where, like, you know, you can't always use the tells of your industry to judge whether a client or whether a worker is going to come through and do the right thing. You can't always use that. You know, you have to just sort of go off of, you know, hey, can this person hold a conversation? Can this person, you know, what is this person's plans? What are their aspirations? You know, what all this shit? And so it's very interesting how one person who couldn't do shit for me would yell at me in a fucking text wall of a DM thinking that they're helping. But then you get another guy who's like, oh, that might be, fuck it. Yeah, sure, I'll do it. And then ends up owning the whole studio and knowing the whole pipeline and fucking being the one who eventually comes through for the thing. So, you know, it's a... Yeah, I'm not sure if it's spiteful to think that way, or maybe that's constructive. Don't be closed-minded, or you're going to miss out on the opportunity of a lifetime of animating for Class of 09 and whatever the fuck else. I don't know, but yeah. So his words said, I mean, because yeah, I went to him about Tenari. His words were, sounds like a missed opportunity. So maybe Class of 09 was a good opportunity. I don't actually know. I don't know. You know, if an anime person would be proud to have worked on an independent thing like that, or if it's all about view count. I mean, Class of 09 at this point, as of recording this, I think it's approaching 500,000 views, which is fucking insane for a 3-minute short cartoon on YouTube that doesn't have like a major IP attached to it. The only IP it has attached to it is our IP. And then just that anime exploded. It just exploded like what the IP was. So it all went together. But yeah, so I met them. I met with Koueta and we got together and we were just sort of figuring stuff out. They showed me the cloud, they set it all up. It was like it was like a movie moment where the military has reinforcements or something like that, or I don't know. There's a specific movie scene I'm thinking about, but now it's not coming to mind, where they like sort of revamp everything and you know, I don't know. All right, see, now I sound like an idiot. Anyway, so they're like, okay, they're assessing, okay, this many layout cuts left. Okay, this is the Inshutsu we have to do. This is the Sakon, the Sosakon we have to do. This is all the thing. They're explaining to me the whole pipeline. And like, well, I had watched YouTube videos on it. They were recontextualizing it. Because what's hard is to actually ask somebody who knows the whole thing and going through it. And so Micken, head of Koueta, and, you know, the Koueta teammates, I don't know what we call them, animators, artists, we're going through and, you know, So, yeah. So at this point, I'm thinking, oh, okay, cool. Everything's all set. Everything's good to go. Finally, it's going to be done. And holy fucking shit, I wish it was that easy. Still wasn't that easy. Basically, you know, I was trying to do like a month, something like that. And keep in mind, I had not paid any money yet. But although it's customary to pay, like, I don't know, these guys, anime artists, they get paid like fucking a month after or some shit. My thing was, I was paying instantly. As soon as you got the work done, I would just PayPal you. And so I thought that, you know, paying a little higher on cuts and paying quickly, I thought that would do something. But goddamn, people really just care about their credits, dude. It's fucking ridiculous. So yeah, so I wish it was that easy. So I thought Mikan had entirely taken over, but it was sent to different divisions of Koeda. And so it got to a point where we were in June. It was still barely done. We got to, you know, It was like, yeah, like we were at like July, like end of July, and it still wasn't done. I'm like, what the hell is going on? So then it's like middle of August, and I contact one of the people at Koeda, and I'm like, okay, what do we have to do to get this done? What do we have to do to rush this out? Because I'm fucking sick of looking at this shit. I've been doing this for, at that point, 11 months. It's longer than a baby to come out, dude. Like, what the fuck is going on? And so what I had to do, and this is what you got to do when you're a producer, and some people would say, that's ridiculous. That's, you know, why would you try to negotiate with someone who's not getting done? Just go to another studio. Motherfucker, what other studio? Again, you really got to believe in it. You really got to believe, like, oh, this is going to do well. Because I get in the thing and I say, what do we have to do to get done? I won't put a deposit. I'll pay it all up front. What do you want? I got to get this done. What do you want? How much money? What is it? So it was somewhere in the four figures. I won't get into it. And so, but yeah, I paid it all. I didn't like, again, no deposit. I just paid it all in advance because at this point, Class of 09 had its buzz on TikTok. So I was making a little more money. So I was able to take some hit and just like go for it because like that's how much I believed in the anime. So I was able to have, which is funny because now the anime is like kind of laundering money into the game, but or I mean, laundering isn't the right word, but you know, now the game was laundering money into the anime. And so, or I guess beforehand. So it goes to it and then I do that and I negotiate that. I'm like, okay, cool. So I think it's going to be 3 weeks done. And then it's still not rushed. And then that's where I have to like, this is the part where I have to start going in and really getting my hands into it. Because, you know, at one point while I thought Koeda had, you know, while I thought they had taken over, I was looking for like even more artists and going to more studio. Like I was just looking for anybody to do not like the color and the doga and all that, but just getting layout done and stuff like that. Cause we still didn't have layout done. Like we were in sort of a production hell. They throw up that money and then it's still not getting done. You know, most people would be, you know, angry, mad, whatever. You know, I had to orchestrate some anger at one point just to, you know, but basically, yeah, I'm looking for all these things. And you know, the whole time I'm looking it over and I'm like, damn, this is what separates a YouTuber from a producer. I always hated being called a YouTuber because I was like, dude, fucking YouTubers, they get like a Blue Yeti and they sit in their fucking chair and play games or they fucking talk about their day. And it's like, okay, cool. Or they'll record themselves making a video essay or some shit. It's like, dude, I'm taking a fucking like a damn near $10,000 Arri Alexa camera and I'm shooting like, you know, cool ass fucking, you know, like little like music video style vlogs. You know, dating tips for incels or NYC rant shot on Arri or just, you know, tons of shit. Or I'm like taking these cameras and I'm learning all this tech and all this shit. And I was like, I always resented the phrase being called a YouTuber because like I didn't play the YouTube game at all. I just fucking made funny shit. That's all I did. I viewed it as entertainment because that's what it was. And all of my work did way better on other platforms than YouTube in the first place. So you really get in that mode where it's like, okay, this is where the YouTuber title stops. You know, like when you're making the first video game, when you're making the second one, and when you're making the anime, you're like all this shit you're going through. You're like, okay, this is when people finally stop calling you a YouTuber. I was right, by the way, because now like No one in the Class of 09 Discord server ever calls me a YouTuber, ever. They don't fucking do that. It's always like, oh, game dev, creator, you know, creative, you know, whatever the fuck. YouTuber I don't get hit with. So, but yeah, so I had to sort of take over, see if I could find people to help. You know, I was, at first the studio came to help me, but now I was trying to help the studio any way I can with whatever the fuck it was, whether it was finding a reference, whether it was sitting in calls and sort of helping, you know, frame by frame, all this shit. And I don't know if that annoyed the fuck out of them, but I had to get it done. And normally as a producer, you don't want to be that helicopter parent type client. But it was at a point where, like, I was just at my wit's end with it. I just wanted it done. And so, you know, obviously it came through. Obviously it was, you know, finished. You know, were there things that I was sort of rushing along or overlooking just in the interest of time? Oh, abso-fucking-lutely. You know, like maybe sometimes the models weren't as close as I wanted, or maybe, you know, the walk cycle wasn't exactly, you know, but again, it's, you know, it's money versus time. You know, I didn't have $10,000 to throw at them to say, hey, quit your fucking job and just do this shit. And they had other work commitments. But again, like, it's the reality of is like, I can't wait, you know, I can't wait another month for this to come out. Like, I got a fucking life. I gotta move this along, because it was a good business decision, because, you know, the Class of 09 franchise is doing much better than what it was. But so what I mean by like drawing comics and then doing a little bit of drawing later was like, there were parts where I was taking the clip file and like, if I didn't like the mouth, I had to just go in and draw the mouth and then run it by them and be like, okay, is this good? So I'm with the pen tablet, like, I didn't do that a lot. I want to clarify. I didn't do that a ton, but there are like little errors that I would go in and I'd fix. Like I do, I would like redraw the mouths on probably like four cuts, which is like full open, semi-open, closed. I did that on the cut where it's we're the last people he'd kill. Just chill out. Like one of the last cuts, I did the mouths entirely for that cut. That was all my drawing. I have a real future in anime, I know. So, so that's when we're towards the end. That's when it's like September, early October. That's when it's there. And yeah, like I'm just at my wit's end. And all I could think was, please, for the love of God, I don't know what's going on the other end. You know, other artists are busy, this and that. It's just, please get the cuts to a finished color state and get it into my hands. Because I knew once it was in my hands, it was going to be lightning fast. I did the compositing for that whole thing with the, you know, the sunlight and the OLM line smoother and all the curves and all that. I did the compositing for that in like 2 days, the whole cartoon. I probably would have, if I had all the cuts in front of me in that moment, I probably wouldn't have stopped working. I would have been there 16 hours straight, just, you know, control N, new composition, putting in all the different books and layering them and copying and pasting and doing the adjustment layer with the Gaussian blur. And then you set it to hard light, and that's what gives it the misty anime look. And, you know, I was doing all that shit. And, there were speed bumps, but we got through it and we got to that point. And so it was interesting. Like, there were little things that they did differently that we don't do in the West. Like, not to say the West, I mean, Koeda is a Mexican studio. That's why I said the story brings us to Mexico. And technically they're the West too, but they're Eastern art. And so there were little things. Like, they export Targa files, which are images. And what they do is, to make the animation happen in compositing, they go in and keyframe the different little images and they change it like that, which is not how we do it. In America, we just export PNG sequences and then like layer them on top of each other. So I was doing PNG sequences for anime, which, you know, admittedly is wasteful because there's not as many in-betweens in anime. So, you know, but sometimes you just got to do it the way you know. When you got to get something done, you just got to do it the way you know. Like, sometimes you can't just like think when you have like a week to go. So, yeah, I do all that. I do all the PNG sequences. I take a lens flare thing. I take my adjustment layers. I take my color curves. I blow out the windows. I was doing all the stuff to make it look very lively and lit up and all that. And I put it together. And it truly is in compositing when you start really feeling the whole show come together with the background art. I didn't even mention the background artists. That was some guy in France. I had to have Aaron, because Aaron knows French because he lived in Corsica. I had to have Aaron. This was back in December, November. So this is like a year ago now. I had to have Aaron talk to the background artist that I found on Instagram. This guy only knew fucking French. So Aaron had to translate with me for a call to get the guy under contract. I fucking forgot that. But yeah, his backgrounds were really good. And but once you take the backgrounds and you take the characters and you OLM and then you run over that fucking adjustment layer with the hard light Gaussian blur, once you do that, it's like, oh shit, this is starting to look like a real show. It's starting to look like a real fucking anime. So yeah, no, that's pretty cool. And like the first cut I think I got done was, I think it was the pan up shot, the long pan up shot where you first see Nicole in anime form. And when I saw that and I put, I added a little bit of noise. I don't know if you can see it on YouTube cause it's compressed. Maybe I'll release like a Blu-ray of it or some shit one day, but I put that little bit of, a grain on it. The little bit of, just like added noise in After Effects. And it was like, oh shit, like this is insane. Because what I always remember about the theatrical Pokemon films and the DVDs in turn is that they didn't run noise reduction over the shit. You would get 35mm grain on like those first three Pokemon anime movies. And it's just like, I thought that was so fucking cool. And then to come full circle and add grain in the anime. And so it like, you kind of give it that texture. I'm sure DaVinci Resolve probably would have had a better plugin, but I was just in After Effects. Maybe I could download a plugin later and play around with it more. But it was just the idea of making it feel like a real film negative and just running that grain over. And so it looks a lot better in, you know, on a big screen TV when it's not through YouTube. But yeah, I was just doing all these little tricks. And once I got through the compositing, like it was set to go. Then what I had to do was I went back to Lyle. I was like, hey, well, no, that was during the compositing. I went back to Lyle. I said, hey, do some recordings where you're the teacher getting shot up by Jeffrey. He was like, okay. And then, so he had a line where he was like, I was like, okay, just, you know, we had no script for Lyle. We just come in, we'll think of some shit. And then he did it. And he was like, his funniest one was probably, kids, get in front of me. You can hear that. If you like listen closely, it's of course it's mumble because it's behind a wall, but that was pretty funny when he did that. Let's see. It was doing the sound effects. It was, you know, changing around some, remember those close, medium, far audio tracks. So I went in and I made it close, made it, you know, some, once you actually see the animation, it makes more sense of what should be close and what should be far. You know, it's easier to sound design once the actual thing is done, because then you see it in real time. And so, yeah, I did that, added footsteps. And you know what's funny as shit, man? It's like, how many anime dubs where I was just doing parodies, how many anime dubs did I do that for where I was saying, like, no, I'm doing this shit, I'm mixing this shit better than the actual shows. And then I come and I just make my actual show. And that's what's great is that I'm still doing that in Sony Vegas. I'm still doing it in Sony Vegas because I didn't need a lot of complicated things to just put some pre-rendered clips together. It was just Vegas, and I like how it does audio editing. But it was still fucking Sony Vegas. Not a goddamn thing changed. And so now people are like, oh, well, now it's legitimate. And that's what I always found funny is that legitimacy is about perception, not actual talent, not actual hard work, not actual anything. It's just about perception. Now that we own the animation, it's mixed so well. This writing is magical. Oh my goodness. It was the same fucking writing for Yugi Coin. It was the same fucking, you know, it was the same audio mixing, it was the same everything. It was all the same shit. And I didn't want to be recognized as an animator. That's not what I cared about. But I had to pay animators to get recognized for my other talents. Think how fucked up that is. So yeah, but no, like I will tell you, not a damn fucking thing changed about my production workflow from Yugi Coin to a quote unquote official anime Class of 09. And it's still not going to change once we get to the next Class of 09. We're going to do a Kickstarter. I think it's coming out on November 25th. Look out for it. Still not, nothing's going to change. I'm still going to mix how I mix. I'm still going to write how I write. And now people will fucking see, oh, okay, yeah, this guy knows what he's doing. Because for the longest fucking time, people will always hit you with, oh, those are just parodies. Oh, I don't know. I mean, is it really? It's like, nah, motherfucker, you got to take it seriously now. You again, like, it's just the fucking dude, specifically the dubbing world. Like, the dubbing world will act like, you know, oh, well, we had a bunch of nepotism and some fucking like 38-year-old man sign off on it. So now we're big shit. Like, shut the fuck up. That's the problem, bro. Bro, the corporate system is preventing art. The corporate system holds back art. It holds back innovation, holds all that shit back. And so, you know, before they could be like, oh, it's just some angry YouTube guy. It's like, nah, motherfucker, not anymore. We own this shit. Do you own your shit? Oh, shit, you don't. Oh, shit, that's a license. Oh, shit, you didn't make that. Uh-oh. You don't own those characters. Uh-oh. So think about it. Anyway, I do sincerely want to thank everybody who came along for the ride. And, yeah, we are getting to the end of Clout Only Pipeline, the making of the Class of 09 anime. I hope you learned something about this. If you've been a longtime SBN3 Patreon fan supporter, I hope you enjoyed sort of the storytelling and everything that went into it. I want to thank, dude, there's a lot of people who helped out. Fuck. I don't know if I start naming people. Well, yeah, a few people were named along the way. Kiru Art did layout. There was a Nightberry. He was very supportive. What's it called? Shannon Status, whatever the fuck. I don't know what she goes by. The greatest. That was insane. I was surprised that someone who drew that well only had 250 followers. Of course, Micken came in and he saved it. And yeah, no, there were just a lot of other people. Yeah, those were sort of like the people who are coming to me right now. I'm sure I'll remember someone later and then feel like a fucking horrible person. But anyway, thank you all for listening to the Clout Only Pipeline, the making of the Class of 09 anime. Please support the Class of 09 anime when it, I don't know, like when the Kickstarter goes out, if we need something, back the Patreon, try to do more, because the more cash flow we have, the more we can show that the corporate system is bullshit and it's artists who run this shit and it's artists who can innovate. Thank you all for your time, and thank you for your support, and let's hope we can continue in the near future. Thank you.